time to welcome on in. It's Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin. And glad you guys can be with me here on this Friday. All right, a little bit of a different show today. We are doing 5 hours today. Yes, we are back doing a five-hour solo show. By the time we hit the midnight bomb, I'm going to look at you and wonder, how in the hell do we do so many midnight shows? You know that's going to happen. I'm going to look at you like we were insane to do as many five-hour solo shows day in, day out as we did.
I had to do a five-hour show for the last post game with Spencer as host.
Oh, my gosh.
I wasn't used to it, JP.
Oh, my gosh.
Brought the caffeine tonight.
Yeah, and listen, I do some Infinity Sports Network shows that are 5 hours still. We'll do those on the weekend from time to time. But, this is just... I haven't even done the show and I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted just thinking about the show already. It is. It's wild to me. Just thinking about it and getting myself all prepped and ready today. Just how long that is. 4 hours for some reason just feels so much more palatable. But either way, the fun part about a show like today is that we have like the first hour 10 until first pitch. We get to just hammer Guardians. And then when the Guardians game is done, make your way back over here and we'll talk about what happened, why it happened. And oh, by the way, I should remind you guys, this is different than just a normal five-hour show. When we have these type of games, there's nothing else I would rather be doing. If I was driving home and it was 11 o'clock and they kicked me off the air for a fan rewind show, I'd be pretty peeved about it, okay? So, like, I'm happy to be doing it, but I do have to remind myself that 5 hours is a little bit of a marathon. It's not a sprint. And then on Wednesday... So Wednesday I did the show with Jason and I left that show and I met my wife and the in-laws for a dinner and we went out to this dinner and then, I put my baby girl in the car and she dropped a shoe as she was getting in the car. But of course my bird brain didn't notice it and we drove off and made all the way, to home about 20 minutes away and we get in and we take her out and we go, well, where's one of her shoes? And I'm like, oh, geez. In my mind, I'm like, it's got to be in the parking lot. There's no other place it could be. So I drove back to go get her one shoe because, I don't know, it makes sense to me. I know some people might look at it and say, well, the shoe is just gone. It's a 20-minute drive. It's fine. So anyway, there and back, 40 minutes, and I had a Morgan Wallen song that was stuck in my head the entire time that I just kept playing over and over and over again, and it was one of those where I just kept singing it. I'll sing in the car, and I'll sing really loudly in the car. It's a defect of mine. I have no shame. Like, when you look over and you see me in a car, if I'm not listening to sports radio, which I typically am, but if I have a song that I like and I'm going with, I will just be singing the hell out of it. And so if my voice isn't great for 5 hours today, that's what that was. Because I knew I had Thursday off, and I just let it rip, and it's kind of dumb. It's incredibly dumb. It feels like when baseball players have those really dumb injuries, like Sammy Sosa once injured his back sneezing. That's what that feels like to me. But right now, the voice feels good. We feel fine. We'll get through this, I promise. But I'm a little antsy. I'm a little nervous, as you can tell. Maybe you can't. But I'm a little nervous about how tonight is going to go. I don't know what's going to happen with Gavin. I have zero clue. I don't know how anybody can know. By the way, we do have Chris Kirshner of The Athletic joining us. He's on the Yankees side of things. He'll join us in 15 minutes. He'll let you know not only his thoughts about the Yankees and everything about the series, but what he expects out of that team as we get ready to roll here. Covers them for The Athletic, has for a couple years now, but he's been on that beat for a decent amount of time. Good enough time for me. The point is, I don't know what to expect with Gavin tonight. I have no idea what the pitching staff in general is going to look like. But what I do feel confident about is that if you take game four, you have to feel great about the series. Bybee on short rest on Saturday after pitching 39 pitches in game two. I absolutely love that setup. I do. I think it's going to be, I think it's a fantastic move by Steven Vogt. I love the idea that that's what he's going to go with. And then Boyd in game five, I love that as well. Like I love the idea, or excuse me, the game after that one. Four into five into six. Excuse me. I love the idea that they're going to be able to figure out on the fly how to make this pitching staff operate. I can't imagine where they'd be if not for Matthew Boyd being as nails as he has. But ultimately, why I get concerned about a game like tonight is we can't honestly know what to expect from any pitcher we have out there. And that includes someone like Emmanuel Clase. Now, you look at the lineup tonight, I don't know what Steven Vogt is doing. I'd love to be able to tell you that he's got some sort of magical plan. I just think he copied and pasted it and then took what happened yesterday, ran it back again today, and said, well, it worked once, let's do it again. I think he loves the options off the bench. In my mind going into today, though, I was trying to figure out how he was going to, in good conscience, play Fry, who has been unreal, play John Kenzie Noel, who has been unreal, and find a spot for some of the players on this roster that have risen to the occasion. And I wondered if that was going to be at the cost of Josh Naylor. You guys know my Josh Naylor theory at this point. It is more than him just eating a million tacos and pizza and putting on a bunch of weight. It is more than just that. He's only had 100 games played in a season three times in his career. He has only had over 122 games played at any point in his career this season, and now we are near about 170 total games for Josh Naylor. I feel like that's why you're starting to see a little bit of a downward spiral when it comes to Josh Naylor. That's just my two cents on it. That's my little theory that I have. I think he's gassed. I think his conditioning isn't there. I think he's spent. And that's fine, but I was waiting to see if Stephen Vogt would make some sort of a change-up, if you will, to the lineup based off of that in an attempt to get John Kenzie Noel in the lineup as well as David Fry. And turns out, you look at the lineup tonight, and he has done neither of those things. You look at the lineup tonight, and although he has, and I agree with the decision, in some respects, to go with Kyle Manzardo in the two spot, I think that's smart, but trying to figure out a way to go with Manzardo, Fry, and Noel, the three guys that have come up with massive hits, massive home runs, and him not being able to do that, I wonder if that's going to come back to bite him. I don't know how many runs you're going to need with Gavin on the bump. I have zero idea. I do know you have to do what the Guardians blueprint has been as of right now, which is getting these starters out early and then also hitting home runs. Like, the funniest thing to me, a team that obviously was awful at hitting the home run last year, got to about 12th in baseball and home runs this year. We look at them and we think to ourselves, well, geez, they're not a home run team. That's a station to station team. That's a, they're going to steal a bunch of bases. They're going to have a bunch of relievers in the bullpen. They're going to shut them out and they're going to pitch great baseball and advance that way. And it's just not the case. It just hasn't been the reality. And what you've seen in the time that not only this series has played out, but also the Tigers series, Joe Sheehan has never been more right. Ball goes far, team goes far. And I'm waiting for Guardians fans to catch up. And really, I'm waiting for Stephen Vogt to catch up and understand that's how he's been able to do that. So I can't sit back and tell you that home runs are everything and you need to have the long ball and then try to tell you that he needs to bench Josh Naylor. I get how that would run counter to itself. But I do wonder if he should be playing the hot hands. Now, Naylor's gotten a million RBIs this season. Naylor's been an absolute force in your lineup. It sounds like I'm taking crazy pills right now. It does, because I'm not sitting here suggesting that Naylor shouldn't be in this lineup. But I do wonder, if you're going to try to get the hot guys in play here, why is Schneeman out there in right field? Like, I like Schneeman. I think he's a good ball player. I like that he started the game yesterday, going into the game when Noel didn't seem like he could hit anything. I like that process, and I like the idea that when you needed the big bat, you needed the big bop, John Kenzie was right there to go ahead and be in the lineup, hitting home runs, and being able to do damage. But I want to ride the hot hand a little bit here, guys. The home runs are the reason why this team is where they currently are, sitting at a 2-1 deficit, but sitting in a spot where you win tonight, and then we got a best-of-three series. Because it happened with the Tigers series the same way. Lane Thomas homers in game one as part of a 5-run first inning. You're off to the races. He then homers again later in the series in game five, mixed in between a game four where David Fry and J-Ram homered. You see the trend that we're doing here? You go to the New York series, you go to the Yankees series, and all we're talking about with this offense has been through the long ball. It's such a pivotal part of this game that I understand a lot of baseball fans don't want to address, they don't want to acknowledge, but that's what this is. Look at the Mets-Dodgers series. It has been home run after home run after home run and one-sided affairs to whichever team decides that today is batting practice. It's kind of wild how it's turned out, but it's how it's turned out. Now, I got to tell you, just upfront and personal, this show today went from being one of the worst I would ever have to do to feeling like it's all for something now. Had the Guardians lost that game last night, down 3-0, this would have been a miserable show to do. Because we'd be talking about a funeral. We'd be talking about the end of a season. And then I would also have to understand that I would sandwich it in between, right now, one of the more disappointing Brown seasons anybody can remember. And we've been through a lot of disappointing Brown seasons. I would have hated that. That would have been a form of torture for me, even though I love doing this job and I love doing sports radio. That would have been a form of torture for me. There's something cool about the fact that you have a chance tonight to take on a Yankees team that in the eighth inning, people like Chris Kirschner, who we're going to have on 10 minutes from now, were already starting to write about how this was Aaron Judge's postseason pinstripes moment. This was the moment that he officially, he'd been a Yankee for a while, obviously. They do this like weird pinstripe thing where they like officially make players Yankees by like a time they have a massive play or a massive game or something. It's like, he earned his pinstripes. Judge had been trying to earn his postseason pinstripes for years, hadn't been able to do it. That home run in the eighth was supposed to be his Yankees moment, the pinnacle of him being a Yankee up until this point. And the Guardians got to play spoiler to that. There's nothing cooler on planet Earth than coming in and playing spoiler in that situation. But it does leave us with a couple question marks for sure. How much faith do you have in Class A as he makes a return? Obviously, I would think to the ninth inning, maybe less so in the eighth inning moving forward. How much faith do you have that Naylor is going to get this thing turned around and going to be able to actually contribute? J-Ram, we put a wellness alert out for you. You all of a sudden have started to hit. I need to see you consistently hitting, though. I need you to do what Judge did yesterday, what Stanton did yesterday, what Soto was able to do yesterday as well. I need you to be able to step up in the big-time moments. Because right now, the story of the Guardians postseason, and this is why this is a little problematic, but hopeful that they turn this around and get this thing going for Games 4, the story right now of the Guardians postseason has been the Stars, quote-unquote, not delivering. That's Class A blowing up in two postseason games right now. That is J-Ram, us putting a wellness check on him for the majority of the series. That is Jimenez not being able to hit. That is Naylor not being able to hit and relying on the other guys to make sure that they come through. The other guys being David Fry with multiple massive home runs. Jonkenzie Noel with a massive home run for the ages. Wayne Thomas with a massive home run for the ages. The other guys, the unexpected parts of this Guardians team that were able to come through in a big time way. It's been fascinating to see, but you can't rely on that forever. Yankees were able to bring their stars to the plate and deliver yesterday in a big time way. Tonight, if the Guardians are going to make a trip to the World Series and if they're going to go on to win a World Series for the first time since 1948, they need their big boppers. They need their stars to come out and play in a big-time way. This needs to be a J-Ram game. This needs to be a Naylor game. This needs to be a Class A game to close it out. We come on back. Chris Kirschner writes about the Yankees, covers the Yankees. He is at Progressive Field as we speak. He writes for The Athletic. He'll join us with the Yankees side of things and then get us all set up. And then I'll ask you guys on Twitter. Twitter reactions brought to you by Chapman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Can the Guardians ride the momentum? We'll get to your calls coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Chris Kirschner joins us next. It's Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin here with you on The Fan. All right, back out of here on The Fan. It is Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin. We're taking this thing up until the Guardians game gets underway, and then we'll move to the Browns. Couple of you guys chiming in, by the way, on the David Fry take, because David Fry not in the lineup tonight. I think it's interesting. I mean, David Fry's got elbow problems, obviously, but I do think it's interesting going with Schneeman in right field over Jonkenzie Noel. I find that to be a little bit fascinating. And then obviously you want Manzardo in there. I get that as well. And that's what I'm trying to find out. How do you get the three card Monty? And I call it that only because it basically is a shell game that he's playing within himself, but it involves three people. Really a fourth, if we're going to be truthful about it. How do you get Manzardo in the mix, Fry in the mix, and Noel in the mix, And really, the only true way you could do it while also being, you know, recognizing what's going on with David Fry and his elbow injury that he can't throw a baseball particularly far is the idea that you would then have to find a way to basically bench Josh Naylor. And I understand why the Guardians aren't going to do that. I get it. But if we're just going to do a one-for-one swap, I like Schneeman. I think Schneeman's a good player. I think he's a fine baseball player. I'll say that. I don't know how big Christmas is in starting right field of this game. By the way, guy with an incredible arm, as we saw designated in the first round of the postseason, coming off one of the biggest hits you're going to see in your lifetime. How he doesn't get the start tonight, I think Stephen Vogt is relying on the pinch hit opportunity again, which I just think is foolish. I just don't understand it. Why would you go down that road? Give him the at-bats. Give him the opportunity. If he goes 0-for-4 at the plate, okay, we can have a different conversation, but it just doesn't make sense to me. 216-474-0092. Vogt's a baseball guy at the heart of it. I'm a baseball guy at my heart as well. I think what he's doing is he's saying it worked yesterday. Let's have it work again. While he's ignoring, in my opinion, the idea that for 8 innings of that game, it didn't work. For 8 innings of that game, it was a disastrous decision, all things considered. And then he got right. And it got right because John Kenzie hit a massive home run. But if John Kenzie had been in the game the entire time, and listen, it wasn't the call yesterday. Yesterday, it wasn't the right call because John Kenzie had been colder than cold. Now that he's got his bat going off of one massive hit, one of the biggest hits in Guardians team history, I don't know. I'd want to see him out there. I would. 216-474-0092. That's just me, though. Alfonso in New York up next on The Fan. What's up, Alfonso? Yo, what's up, Alfonso? And they've been your two best, I mean, one of your two best players the entire postseason. I mean, obviously, we've had a lot of good at-bats and a lot of good stuff from, you know, guys like Kwan, for instance, who's been tearing the cover off the ball. But like we talk about big clutch moments, there's been three players involved in that. It's been Fry, Noel, and Lane Thomas. Oh, I like the optimism. Thank you, Alfonso. They win tonight. Guardians win tonight. They better take game five on Saturday, because going back to New York won't be great. But if you win tonight, advantage Guardians by a million. Yankees fans right now are in their feelings. They're shook after what happened last night, as they should be. They thought they were going to go up 3-0. They thought they were coasting into the World Series. They were having more and more conversations. I heard a Yankees discussion yesterday that they were discussing whether or not the World Series win would count as much as the 0-9 one simply because the path was so easy, and then they took it into more than just a path thing, because that was the initial A-Rod Jeter conversation. They made it similar to what Boston just went through with the postseason this last year. They're like, well, Boston had an easy path, and it's like, what are we doing here? We're comparing it to the Celtics all of a sudden and their path through the East? What are we doing? It's baseball. It's a different sport that way. There's no such thing as an easy path. And on top of it, they were counting their chickens before they hatched. They were counting us as dead and out before the game was even over. They're already having some of those conversations. It's like, what are you doing? Now, after the game happened, it completely flipped. Yankees fans all of a sudden had to respect the Guardians, all of a sudden got scared of what the Guardians can do. They hadn't seen anybody treat Luke Weaver like that yet. And that bullpen that they had been almost perfect up until that moment. They didn't allow a single run in the Royals series and didn't allow a single run until that J-Ram home run in the ninth inning a couple days ago. Like, they had been absolutely electric and lights out. And then all of a sudden, they became human. And that's got to give the Guardians and Guardians fans a lot of optimism. 216-474-0092. Josh in Grand River. What's up, Josh? Yeah, I mean, I've been talking about it now for a few days. The idea that Josh Naylor just has not been able. He can't hit right now. He's never played this many games in a season. He visibly looks like he is way out of shape. And then I have no idea how he even stretched for the Jimenez play. That was incredible. Josh, that play might be the reason why he's still in the lineup tonight, is because Vogt looked at that play and said, I got to at least keep him in there because defensively he was so good in that moment. If he was on the fence on it, that play might have tipped the scales. Oh, Josh, I can't right now, man. I can't right now. Call back in an hour, and I got you. I promise you. Is that all right? All right, call back in an hour. I got you. I promise, okay? All right. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate you as always. Steven in North Royalton. What's up, Steven? Hey, Steven. I think you're onto something in the idea that I think Vote, and Steven, I appreciate you. I think Vote loves the flexibility that it offers. I just want to get these guys as many bets as I can, and I look at it as a little bonkers. And again, there's no way to do it unless you want to take Josh Naylor out of the lineup, and even though he's been slumping, I don't think we're there. Definitely not there yet. Might be getting there. Might be knocking on the doorstep, but we're not there yet. There's no way to get your three hottest hitters outside of Kwan all into the lineup at the same time, because Manzardo, Fry, and then Noel are the guys that have clearly delivered in a big-time way in recent days, and it just seems impossible to get them all in. But the fact that then only one of them is able to crack the lineup and Schneeman is in, I got what you're saying. I do. I understand it completely. It just comes as a little bit of a shock to me. But I really think Stephen Vogt just looked at the lineup from yesterday, said, I'm going to copy and paste that one, and we're going to run this back because baseball guys just do those things sometimes. But I think the flexibility there and what it offers Vogt, I think you're onto something in that regard. I think that's a big component as to why he felt comfortable going with that lineup again. 216-474-0092. How much of this falls on the Stars to start being Stars? And can the Guardians ride the momentum? If you're hanging, hang tight. We'll get to you on the other side, and we'll take this thing up until the Guardians game gets underway, and then we'll get to the Brownies as we got a bunch of time to fill talking about the NFL and a really important weekend for the Browns, all things considered. A lot is happening in Berea. It's Overtime with Jonathan Peterlin here with you on The Fan.